Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Ann Ortley. I'm talking to you today from the Bright Red Desk on December 10th, 2017. We have an early broadcast today because it's the holiday season, and I have competing events. And I figured rather than waiting you mate till 11 o'clock when I would be back home and able to do it, I'd do it early in the morning before I took off. So here we have the early weekly weather edition. This is for the week of December 10th. It is, thank heavens, a two-page week. So we're going to be a little bit calmer this week than last week. And we still have Saturn in new sections of the sky. So he's going to be bringing us some new adventures. But otherwise, the week ahead does look a little calmer, which is actually a relief. Because I don't know about you, but I'm getting tired of those three-page weeks full of stuff. It's not to say it's not going to be an exciting week. It's just to say not a three-page week. So what we're doing, what we do here in the weekly weather, we talk about the weather of the heavens above and how to use it and how to use it below. So one of the things I have today is an OPA Live conference call at 1 o'clock where I'm going to be talking about Pluto and Capricorn. So I wanted to give you a little bit of the scoop on that because I presented this yesterday for recording my presentation. And Pluto's going into the Capricorn decant in February. But he is in the approach to the Pluto return for the United States. My first astrology teacher, a wonderful man named John Marcosella, said when planets get within 10 degrees, we start seeing what the Pluto story is going to be, or what the planet coming to planet. Now, in this case, it's Pluto coming to Pluto, which only happens once every 250 years. So for our country, this is a big deal. And Pluto went direct at 16 last week in September, and it got to 17 in October. And, of course, Pluto always wants us to look at what the story is around its energy. So in the sign it's in. So Capricorn is all about power. Capricorn rules governments. Capricorn rules dads. Capricorn rules the authorities in our life. So this morning I woke up to a ballet guy, drawing a blank on his name, being accused of sexual improprieties. And when Pluto hit 17 in October, that's kind of when all this stuff started going down. Not that it hadn't been happening before. When Pluto went into Capricorn in January of 2008, we had the Bernie Madoff thing running off with the money, of course, abuse of power. We also had the financial collapse. Watch the financial markets. We also had the first of the allegations against Bill Cosby kind of surfaced in the public collective. I mean, people known about it for a while, kind of like they did about these other guys. And that was Dad, you know, drugging and assaulting people. You didn't have to do that, Dad. You could have just asked them. They would have gotten naked with you. You were the jello guy. But he was America's father in many ways. And so that was the beginning of it. So now at 17, we're really starting to see this unfold. And, of course, it's been all the harasser energy this last few months. And we'll be watching abuse of power energy popping in there next. The latest was apparently there's a slush fund that the tax dollars have been using to pay off congressional mashers. So I'd like to see a list, kind of like to see that list. But as Pluto goes into Capricorn, into the Virgo decant of Capricorn, which is we divide the sky into three decants, the third one is Virgo, which is when we want to fix stuff. And if we watch when Pluto went into other decants, the back end of them, that's the fix it. Now that we've become aware of the problem, let's fix it. Let's work with it. So we have this major shift, and we are really working with this energy very profoundly, and you're going to feel it in your life too. So in your Capricorn house, whatever showed up since the beginning of 2008, you know, you're kind of going, okay, I have to work with this in a new way. I have to understand my power here. I have to understand my responsibilities here. I have to understand, am I being a good Capricorn in the area of Pluto? And, of course, Saturn's going to go in there in a couple weeks because he's wrapping up his Sagittarius journey, and he'll amplify it. But as we're getting ready for that final, you can kind of feel the energy building. So you're going to find yourself, and I, you know, a few years back, my favorite saying was, do your Saturn, do your Saturn. And now Saturn's in new territory in the sky, so do your Saturn, because he's tracing a new patch of heavens, And between now and December 20th, when he goes into Capricorn and he amps up the Capricorn energy even more, he's in the last degrees of Sag. Now, these are also the degrees that are tied to the galactic center, which is a highly psychic part of the heavens. So when planets go through there, we all have kind of aha moments. Now, you can call psychic, you can call it intuition, you can call it flashes of wisdom. I don't care what you call it, but you're going to be having kind of cosmic downloads where you go, wow. Now, when the Russians studied this, they realized this was highly tuned when we were facing this point in the heavens, highly tuned enhanced psychic ability. But I'm just going to say everybody's a little psychic. You know, we're all every sign in the zodiac, because we have all 12 of them in our chart, and we all have psychic something somewhere. So you want to watch where Saturn is in your chart, what house it's in, and kind of hang out with him a little bit. He's the last bits of Sag, the galactic center. He wants you to spend a little time listening for downloads, paying attention to downloads. And I know it's kind of hard in a busy, busy holiday season, but I do encourage that quiet time or that moment right before you go to sleep when you're lying there. And I want you to dream. I want you to envision. I want you to think about what it is. We've been, you know, this whole year I've been haranguing you about what your vision is. What's your vision? What's your vision? Well, you know, now's the time to finalize it, because Saturn's going to go into Capricorn. He's going to start building it. You know, he's going to say, okay, we're building the new dream. And he starts on the 20th. So as this energy pops, as we see the last bits of Sagittarius surface, as Saturn goes through them, as Mercury goes retrograde back to January of 16, he is asking us to understand what the last 2 years of our life have meant and to look at them from a different perspective. And, of course, Mercury is the messenger. He's back in bounds, which is good, but he's still in Sag, and he's still answering to Jupiter in Scorpio. So he's still telling the secrets. We're still going to be hearing stuff and going, wow. Wow. And, you know, I have wow fatigue. You know, it's just a little overwhelmed. And sometimes with all the stuff flying at you, that's the good course to take, to just kind of retreat a little bit. Take a moment where you hang out and you really focus on what's truly important for you, because there's so much flying around out there that it's hard. You know, you kind of bounce around like a ping pong ball. Of course, it's only a two-page week, so you're not bouncing around as much as you were last week. And you're still bouncing around. And honor the energy as illuminating, as trying to see, to teach you stuff. I had a woman here the other day, and she's like, I really want to die. I really just don't want to be here anymore. And, you know, okay, let's have a conversation about that. And it was just, like, tired, really tired. I want you to remember the joy. I want you to find a moment of joy. I want you to remember the holiday seasons are hard, because we think about all those holidays that went before and all the people that died aren't here anymore, and how they've inevitably changed from when you were a little kid waiting for Santa Claus or your Hanukkah presents, or I don't think Kwanzaa was around when I was a kid, but the Kwanzaa presents. You know, I wasn't aware of Kwanzaa. Waiting for that joy of holiday, you know, that and it has a hype to it, you know, it's Sag, it's, you know, it's a little over the top, and it can be tiring because it's running so fast, but it's focusing on the essential core, you know, focusing on the stories of your life as instructive. Man's search for meaning. We always seek to understand why things are happening. That's why we listen to astrology podcasts. That's why we read the paper and we look at opinion pieces, so someone else can tell us why they think it's happening. And we can go, ooh, I agree with Maureen Dowd, or ooh, I don't. Or anybody, any opinion columnist you listen to. So it's you're forming your opinion now. You're forming your belief. Saturn in Sagittarius is about what you believe, and he's kind of trashed some of our beliefs. But that doesn't mean we don't have to believe in him anymore. You know, I went out for dinner. I have a play date every month with my friend Lorraine, because we book it, you know, like a year, and we book the whole year. So we went to see the Hockney exhibit at the Met, and it was okay. But we both were like, not really our thing. So we left. And I, you know, I didn't finish the exhibit. And I have friends that go, life is too short to waste on bad art exhibits, or life is too short to waste on bad theater. That's my other friend, Ian Dunford. And so I'm getting my apartment painted at the end of the month. Those of you who've been here, there was a huge leak, and they finally stopped leaking. So I'm getting it painted. And Lorraine is an artist. She's a brilliant artist and very visual. So we went and picked paint out, and then we came back here, and she's like, okay, I envision a library. And I went, a library? Now, I have a lot of books. I'm going to get a library. That's going to be my research. Like, I'm going to have a little library in my apartment. And she kind of rearranged it, and as she was doing it, I could really see it, you know? And I was like, wow, a library. How cool. To end Saturn and Sag, and to really focus, you know, focus my books in a new direction, and it was a visionary. It was a visionary moment. You know, it's understanding. Watch for those visionary moments where you kind of go, "Wow, wow." That's this week, next week, through the 20th of December. It's the wow week. Look for the joy of early life. Look for the joy of earlier Christmases. Look back at a happy time in your life. Hook back into that wow energy and kind of live with it and hang out with it this week, because it's a wow kind of week, or it can be, as opposed to, I don't think I really want to be here anymore, which is another position. Because Saturn in Sagittarius is like, really, do I have to stay? Can't I go back to my planet from another solar system far, far away? So our job with this energy is to really honor it and to work with it, moving fast, but still only a two-page week. Get your vision focused. Get your clarity. And I am going to have a library. I'm so excited. With a rocking chair that I can rock in and read my books. So those of you trying to visualize it, because you've been to my apartment, you know where I do the readings now. That whole room is going to be the library. And then we're going to turn the couch so that it goes across the living room, and we're going to put the reading table over where the stereo is now on the left. And that's it. It's a library. I can't stand it. I'm so excited. All right, on to the week. All right, so get your moon calendars. We're ready. It's a week that's got the moons running through Libra, Scorpio, Sag. The other part of our chart. Remember, Libra is the other guy. Scorpio is the other person's money, and Sagittarius is the other person's belief. Now, of course, it is our chart, so it's also our stuff. But the moon in Libra right now, the moon's in Virgo. But tomorrow at 12:01 a.m., 12:01 tonight, Sunday morning, or Monday morning, the moon goes into Libra. It's in Libra on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday till 7:27, when it goes void with a sextile to Saturn. So Monday and Tuesday are great days for getting stuff out the door, finished, done, off you go. Moon is void for about an hour and a half on the 13th, the morning of the 13th, Wednesday morning. It goes into Scorpio at 8:59 a.m., and then it's in Scorpio Wednesday, Thursday through 8:42 a.m., and it goes void with a sextile to Pluto. Okay, so now we have 4 days in a row with really good closing aspects. That means this is a rocking and rolling, get it, like last week was bad aspects. This week is good aspects. Moon goes void at 8:42 on Thursday evening, and then it's void all day Friday. Sorry. Going to be void all day Friday, entering Scorpio on 8:07 p.m. on Friday the 15th, and it's in Scorpio Friday. I'm sorry, Sagittarius at 8:07 p.m. Friday, and it's in Sag on Saturday and on Sunday, and it goes void at 8:10 in the morning with a conjunction to Saturn, which can be good or bad. You know, Sagittarius moon to Saturn. This is our last conjunction of the moon in Sag to Saturn. For 29 years, Saturn in Sag, that is, because in a couple of days he goes into Capricorn. So this is a wrap-up one, and that's the evening of Friday the 15th, the 16th, the 17th, going void at 8:10 in the morning forming a new moon on the 19th, but that new moon is the finishing end. And that marks the end of the moon's relationship to Saturn and Sag. So all positive closing aspects this week, all helpful, all good for releasing, for partnering Monday, Tuesday, for working with other people's valuable things or your valuable things, what's valuable to you, and also psychologically oriented on the Scorpio piece. And then the Sag part is very visionary. And what's the idea? And then we have the new moon at bright and early at 1:30 in the morning on the 18th. I'll be having a new moon webinar next week on the 17th. I'm doing Opal Live today at 1 o'clock Eastern, Opal Live 2018, $25 for non-OPA people and free for OPA people, where I'll be talking about Pluto and Capricorn in a bit with four other astrologers. So let's talk about the week ahead. When we look at the energy in the sky, you know, what we're working with as the chart is we still have that big old grand trine and fire, right? The node series, we have Uranus, Pallas Athena and Eris, and then we have the Sun, Mercury, Saturn, and Venus in Sag. So we've got a lot of planets in the fire, and we do know that California is on fire. So we send our love and water to California and hope that it calms down a little bit out there. And it will when Saturn goes into Capricorn, but that's still a couple more weeks, another 10 days. So we kind of want to work on that fire energy. So the series is next to the North Node of Fate, and the two of them are creating something. And then they're trying to Pallas Athena and Uranus and Eris. Now, Pallas Athena is moving retrograde, so she's asking us to reconsider our strategies. Lorraine said, "Why don't you want a library?" And I went, "I can have a library in my apartment?" And then I have one. I mean, I don't have it yet, but I have the vision for it. And then down to the bottom, to the Mercury-Saturn conjunction that we had this week. Now, Mercury's back at 25, okay? So he's back moving back through the stuff he did this fall. And he's going to go all the way back to January of 16, the energies that's been going on. And he takes us on a magical mystery ride. He's come in from out of bounds, so he's in a much better space because he's not so wild and crazy. He's just, you know, he's still direct, though. And all of those Sag planets answer to Jupiter and Scorpio. Now, Jupiter and Scorpio has a markedly different flavor now because Mars has entered into Scorpio, and he now is ruling Jupiter and Scorpio. Some of you like the Pluto. You know, it's okay, but do the shorter versions because it's, you know, Mars is in a sign only 2 weeks, and it changes. It changes. So we get 2 months, sorry, not 2 weeks. So the tenor of the Jupiter and Scorpio is a little more intense and a little more passionate because instead of answering to Libra, which is a sign he's not that thrilled with, he's answering to Scorpio, which is a sign he loves, right? And then, of course, we've got the moons working in collaborative energies. So it's an interesting chart. The Pluto Jupiter sextile is building. There's going to be three of them this year. And, of course, that takes us back to 1982 and what was going on then in the fall of 82 when they joined. And we've had a little bit of review of that as Jupiter went through there and Mars went through there and the other planets did. So there's kind of a link, you know. It's like a cosmic link which kind of jets us back to that section and zooms us forward. So this week, the Sun is going from 19 Sagittarius to 25. Doesn't have a lot of aspects, but he does combust Mercury on the 12th, where the Sun and Mercury meet up and kind of connect in. And, you know, a combust Mercury, especially when Mercury's retrograde, everybody kind of digs into their position. Combust Mercuries are Mercuries we don't argue with because the person has their beliefs and they need to have them, and that's okay. So that's part of the energy of that. And it also has, the Sun also has a trine to Eris on the 14th, where people kind of are a little argumentative. And then we leave that with a square to Chiron, where we kind of have our feelings hurt perhaps a little bit. That's on the 15th. And then we have a trine to Uranus and a trine to Pallas Athena. So we shake it off December 16th, play Taylor Swift's Shake It Off sign song, and kind of shake it off. Remember, these transits are for your illumination and your education, even if you don't want to learn the lesson. It's going to be pointed out to you. Mercury retrograde going from 2447 all the way back to 15 Sag. Now he stations to go direct, and when he does that, next week, not this week, but as he goes back from 27 through 15, he retraces quite a few steps. And, of course, he has arguments with Eris and Pluto on the 11th and the 12th. Where he's kind of trying to figure out how to get along with them, or at least reporting on them and going, well, you know, can we maybe be friends? And you know, Eris really isn't a very friendly person because she wants the change to happen. So she's got a little bit of an attitude. And with Pluto, you know, Pluto in Capricorn's been telling all the secrets. Mercury's been telling all the secrets. Scorpio's been telling all the secrets. So the planets are in reveal mode. Right? And expect reveals the 15th to 16th. Mercury meets up with Venus on the 15th. And that's a nice, pleasant meeting, right? Because he's going backwards. He's going to meet Venus. And she's going forwards. And they're having this little chat. And they're normally good buddies. So this is that's a pleasant day on the 15th. Because things are moving and connecting and adjusting. And then Mercury has really important meetings with people on the 16th. So you really want to pay attention to who you meet on the 16th. That's next Saturday night because he aspects the nodes of fate. And he says, hey, how about this? Or he brings forward something that you hadn't seen before. Of course, Mercury's in paper. It's in Sagittarius, which is faraway places. And it's also telling the stories, telling the secrets. Mercury is very chatty when he's in Sag. Venus is going between 11 Sag. Whoops, let's turn the page here. She's going between 11 Sag and 19 Sag. So first up, she's got a square to Neptune, where she's kind of losing her illusions about things. She's seeing something in a way she hadn't really seen it before, and that's okay. You know, that's part of what Venus's job is to help us understand what we want by helping us understand what we maybe don't want anymore. And as she goes forward, she's going to have a trine to the nodes of fate on the 14th, on Thursday, which means she's going to be pulling in things too. Now, Mercury's having a trine going backwards. Venus is having a trine going forwards. And they're having this trine right after they meet each other, right? So there's an interesting energy there of Venus and Mercury connecting both with the nodes of fate. Does this mean you're going to meet a beloved? Does this mean you're going to run into some way of making money? This means some kind of big money Venus communication connection that helps you move forward on your path. And a lot of times when we have all this stuff leaving or we have all this stuff blowing up around us or burning down, in the case of California, we then go, oh, here's the connection with fire. Here's how it moves into this new place. And then Venus has a trine to Ceres and a hard aspect to both Pluto and Mars over the weekend. So Venus in her energy is going to be running into these guys that are a little bit stressed. Okay, there's a little bit of stress energy with them. Then last but not least, Mars is at zero Scorpio that he went into this weekend. And he's intense when he's in Scorpio. He's got a square to Vulcanus, which kind of zooms everything up. And he's getting grounded in Scorpio. So he's going to be at zero through four and kind of four or five be activating those. Jupiter not doing much, but he is aligning with Vesta on the 12th. He's having a conjunction with Vesta in Scorpio. And he's saying, how do you want to change your home? What do you want to do? And then Saturn is at 29 degrees Sagittarius. He's parked there. He's 17 to 38, 40. And he is aspecting Neptune with a quintile, so he's inviting the dream. That's going to be on the 16th, next weekend. And he's also saying to you, maybe not this partner, on the 15th when he's a little blindsided by Juno at the last degrees of Capricorn. You know, you thought you were going to partner with that person, but maybe not. And he also has a change in the housing situation on the 14th. So that can be a housing thing comes through or a housing thing falls through. I can go either way with that one. Then Vesta this week has a square to the nodes of fate on the 17th, Sunday the 17th, which is changing how you see your home, how you see your body, how you see the office, how you see the container of your life. And then two of our dear asteroids have stations this week. Pallas Athena stations at on December 17th at 25 Sag to turn direct. She's a 25 Aries, but she's in that grand trine. And then Ceres stations to turn direct at 18 Leo. Ceres stations to turn retrograde at 18 Leo. A little Mercury retrograde this morning with my communique. And then Hygieia enters Aquarius on the 13th. So that's airborne colds. That's when you're going to hear everybody coughing and going, ha, 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 because she is, Hygieia is entering air. And so we're going to have coughing and colds on the 13th. And also airborne things. You know, hear about airborne illnesses or something. So it's an interesting week. It does pose a question to us as Saturn hits those last degrees of Sag. Whenever a planet's at the anaretic degree, which is what he's at, there's like a big cosmic shout-out. Now, you know, this happens every month. You know, the sun goes there. But when it's an outer planet, it's a planet we've spent some time with. And we've been spending time with Saturn and Sag since September of 2015, and we're in review mode to January of 2016, last year, this year, while Mercury's going backwards. When Saturn gets to that last degree, I always think of it as a kind of a push back or a push forward on the lessons of Sagittarius. So you want to kind of think back to what was going on for you in the fall of 15. And I know some of you go, I hate it when you do that. I hate when you do the think back. But this is a pretty clear lesson. You know, he went into Sagittarius and he said, this is the truth. And you said, that's the truth. And, you know, when he's in a sign, he's a pretty authoritarian kind of guy. You know, he's like, I mean, he's Saturn after all. He goes, this is the truth. And, you know, you're allowed to disagree with him. But if you do, you have to be clear about why you're disagreeing. And if you don't want to disagree with him, that's okay too. You just have to listen to him. And you have to say, you know, what's the story? Now, he is our teacher. He's the restrictions in the universe. He's where we run into no, where we run into problems, where there's a block. And I was reading for a teacher the other day, and we were talking about being a little fish in a big pond, right? And, you know, that phenomena, you know, where you've been a big fish in a little pond, and you go into a bigger pond, and now you're a little fish, and what that does, and how that affects your understanding of the meaning of your life and the purpose of your life. And so think big fish, little fish. And think about what that means. Now, of course, it's a fire sign, so we can go big fire, little fire. I'm good with that, too. But think about the vision that you have when you realize, wow, I'm a little fish. Or when you go, I'm a big fish, and then, you know, you lose your job in a heartbeat because of something you did. Right, which, you know, we've been watching a lot of big fish go down, right? Understand that. Kind of look at that energy. Figure it out. Think about what is your impersonal inspiration. Because if you're inspired, you're a happy camper, right? And it isn't about the stuff. I mean, stuff's important, and I like stuff, and I'm going to have a library soon. Could I tell you that? I'm going to have a library. It's about what you're going to do with that vision, why you're here, what makes you laugh, what makes you sing, what makes you dance, What makes you really love being alive? What is the inspiration in your life? How do we get more of it? How do we live in that inspiration? That's a nice place to live. And on that note, the British lady, always firm, she's our Saturn here at the radio show, invites us to leave and wishing you a good week. I'll catch you next week. Remember, last degrees of Sag. Take care. Bye-bye.